This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Saddam Hussein's regime is a grave and gathering danger. To suggest otherwise is to hope against the evidence. To assume this regime's good faith is to bet the lives of millions and the peace of the world in a reckless gamble. And this is a risk we must not take.
President George Bush speaking Thursday to the United Nations General Assembly. Mr. Bush called on the UN to fulfill its responsibility to disarm and end repression in Iraq. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And, of course, this was a significant pronouncement from the president, underscored by the gravity of the week's commemoration of the deaths last year on September 11th. So before we talk about the speech at some length, what were your impressions of Wednesday's commemorations?
Right. And even before that, let's mention, as though planned for the commemoration on Wednesday, it turns out now that Ramzi bin al-Shib, a very high-ranking al-Qaeda operative, was captured on that day in a shootout in Karachi. And then last night, five men of Yemeni origin were arrested in a Buffalo suburb. And so the commemoration, in a sense, of that day still goes on. Well, you ask me about Wednesday. I have some difficulty separating journalistic observation from personal emotions, as I guess most people do. But yes, I did watch a lot. Yes, I know that this country is getting very good, alas, at memorials, at public ritual, mostly very dignified, restrained, focusing on names of victims, bereaved families. Television made the supreme sacrifice of foregoing commercials. President Bush, as you have suggested, played a quite leading role, visiting three attack sites, then spending 2 hours at Ground Zero in New York for hugging bereaved families, and then made a very short and very interesting speech that lumped Saddam Hussein with al-Qaeda and thus set the stage for his UN speech next day.
And what do you believe that the president, in presenting his case against Saddam Hussein to the United Nations, made the most effective use of that moment?
It turns out, looking back on the next day, that he did very well. The timing was quite masterful. Here we are. We still have no solid evidence of an Iraqi connection with the al-Qaeda terrorists. And yet the president made a rhetorical connection when he said that no terrorist or tyrant, mind you, no terrorist or tyrant would be allowed to threaten civilization. He lumped Saddam Hussein together with al-Qaeda in a kind of seamless web. By the time his UN speech was over, there were not many people around willing to question anymore whether Saddam is a threat who has to be dealt with. Remember that before then, people were saying, what's the big fuss all about? People don't say that anymore. He's managed to put it right square in the center.
At the same time, he said the United States was willing to work with the UN on a resolution that would demand that Iraq essentially comply with all the resolutions it hadn't complied with over the past 11 years. Does that in any way delay the prospect for military action?
I think it will rather advance the prospect for military action. I think it's improved. Now, if, as likely, the United Nations fails to get compliance from Iraq, then the United States will insist on language that will be explicitly or implicitly in a UN resolution authorizing military action. You remember 1990, after the invasion of Kuwait, there was a resolution that said individual member states are empowered to take further action as necessary to ensure Iraq's compliance. Well, all it takes is something like that to say that the UN has now given its blessing, and I think that President Bush is now also pushing for an early congressional resolution of support, which under present conditions, I think Congress would find it very hard to refuse. The Democrats are very, very quiet on the whole subject. I think that the president has advanced his cause considerably this week, pursuing a strategy so far very successful with hardly a peep from opponents and Democrats.
Well, there was certainly considered to be some potential opposition among members of the UN Security Council. Where do you see support and opposition perhaps coming from there?
Well, there also, Russia was problematical, and Russia is now itself taking a tougher position towards Iraq, warning that there'll be consequences if it doesn't comply with inspection. France talks of setting a deadline for compliance. There will be a lot of haggling about the wording of the resolution, how far that will go in appearing to authorize military action. But at this point, the United States simply faces no insuperable obstacle in accepting the Bush challenge to act or be dismissed as irrelevant. I mean, the UN is on the spot, and President Bush is in charge.
Rather pointedly, perhaps, the president at the same time didn't use, forgive me, the phrase that he and Prime Minister Blair have been invoking a lot about regime change.
Yes.
Does that signal to you that there's any kind of change in goals, that it's more the concentration is more on disarmament of Iraq than it is getting Saddam Hussein out of office?
It appears so for the moment, but I think that's rather tactical. Mm-hmm. I think that the United States emphasizing inspection, disarmament, theoretically, I suppose Saddam Hussein could cave in and say, yes, I'll do it now and then stay, but that's only quite theoretical. As the administration sees it one way or another, this all leads to toppling Saddam.
And let me get you, if I can, to project ahead for the next few weeks and months. At one point, the administration had indicated that consultation with the UN and the Congress was not an important priority.
Right.
Clearly, that became a priority this week. How do you see a timetable?
A tactical priority. Mm-hmm. How do I see a timetable? You want me to sort of give you a scenario, and probably turn out to be wrong, but why not? The UN will pass a resolution. Saddam, say, invites Kofi Annan, Secretary General, come to Baghdad, talk about it. Says, yeah, in principle, we'll do it. We're willing to do all that, but we want you to lift sanctions. Saddam Hussein finds that sanctions are not being lifted. This goes on for some time. At some point,
what some time do you think?
Well, the president says days, weeks, not months, mm-hmm. years. So days, weeks, and at some point, the president says, Secretary of State Jim Baker said in 1990, enough talk already. Congress then passes a resolution. That takes us up to about the November election, mm-hmm. and after the election, say in January, the bombing starts. Now, I know I have previously speculated that the president was backing away from the war option. I no longer believe that. I think that the UN speech was the first stage in a build-up for military action.
Forgive me. Moving to election results here in the United States this week, the counting of ballots. Well, they're still counting in Florida, aren't they? Votes are still missing. State government has rejected Janet Reno's request for a recount. Why can't Florida seem to count votes?
I don't know, and I have another question. If the United States can bring free elections to Afghanistan, say, why can't it bring free elections to Florida? I mean, there are misplaced votes that are still being found. Yeah. They could theoretically erase Jim McBride's 8,000-vote official margin, but Governor Jeb Bush's commission has refused Janet Reno a statewide recount. I imagine that she'll be going to court. Justice Rehnquist, here we come.
Another issue I want to raise finally with you very carefully. There was an important vote dispute that was resolved this week through judicial intervention. Misty Clymer has been declared the one and only Miss North Carolina, her rival for that title, the woman initially selected by judges, Rebecca Revels, was displaced for reasons you might go into. I approach this carefully because I know you had a claim to that title yourself to be North Carolina.
Well, no. All right. Let me talk about the real news about Misty Clymer and Rebecca Revels. I love the names just to begin with. And Rebecca was ruled out because it said that there were some topless photos taken of her. Mm-hmm. And then they couldn't find the photos, so she wanted to come back again. And what is there to say? The judge said that he was acting to protect a significant part of America, and I don't know what part he had in mind.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.